This recording is intended for investment professionals and institutional investors only. This is not intended for use with the general public. Hello all, and thanks for listening in. I'm Daniel Longden, and you are listening to our latest February 2022 Macquarie Fixed Income Strategic Forum podcast. As we've done previously, I'm delighted to be joined by Brett Luthwaite, CIO and head of the Macquarie Fixed Income team. Brett, welcome back.
Thanks, Dan. Start of another year and lots to discuss in thinking about the year ahead.
That's right. It's another big year, and I think some really big topics to get into today. So we're looking forward to breaking those down with you. Perhaps we just start with a bit of scene setting. The Macquarie Fixed Income Strategic Forum sees you bring together the global fixed income team for a series of deep dive discussions on key issues in markets. Do you want to just talk to us about the recap, the purpose of the forum?
Well, sure. I mean, I think, Dan, I mean, it's a really good opportunity for our team to step away from the noise and the screens and you know, the volatility that you can see in markets day to day. Really sort of try and circle some of the main themes that have captured market attention and really do some deep dive research into those topics, trying to truly deeply understand, are they real? Are they going to really influence things, or how indeed will they pan out in the year ahead? And I think it's always very instructive to have that bench of evidence to sort of, as markets sort of oscillate around, to refer back to and say, well, look, I mean, when you do the work, you present the evidence, you generally position portfolios for medium term, ultimately these things generally pan out. And that has been the experience. And of course, the other side of it is that the Strategic Forum is generally this, you know, incredible outpouring of research and conversation that takes place. And ever more so, I think, in January, you know, 2022, you know, when I reflect on the last number of strategic forums, particularly amid the pandemic, it really has been an incredible environment, an environment of lots of disruption, a lot of policymaker activity, very inconsistent approaches all around the world, creating a very out-of-sync global recovery. I think there's so much out there that you can point to that can almost support just about anyone's view. So how do you cut through all that? And I think to some degree, you know, there's been this question lurking in the background for us throughout the more recent strategic forums, but probably ever more so the one here in January 2022, has been around this sense of, did this pandemic, you know, that we call COVID, you know, has it changed everything? And okay. When I say everything, yep. I mean the investment environment. Or is it an event that has taken place that, with all the other structural challenges that we've talked about infinitum, not much has really changed? And I think in January 2022, the reason, I guess, that question was ever more prevalent, or, you know, that thread was coming through, is because we've started the year, the inflation of 2021, which most people, including central banks alike, we're of the belief, including ourselves, that it should be fairly transitory, has ended up being fairly persistent. It's still with us. It looks like it could be with us for some time. And if indeed that is the case, it probably has significant ramifications for the investment outlook. Now, they could be just for the near term, or if indeed we've got this significant change occurring in the investing environment due to more persistent inflation, significantly so for the longer term. And so the strategic forum this time around was really trying to get to the heart of those questions.
Okay, Brett, as you've described, fascinating times, incredible environments, a really interesting period in markets. We've seen increased volatility. What was the theme, the key theme and the focus of the forum?
Well, the main body of work that we undertook at the forum was really trying to get to the heart of the question around what is driving this more persistent inflation. And I think answering that question is integral to understanding whether, you know, that bigger question of, you know, has COVID changed everything or nothing, really hinges around that. Why is that the case? Well, when you reflect on the last 10, 12 years and the environment we've been in, we've been in an environment where, you know, growth has been challenging to create. Similarly, inflation There's been many episodes, each and every episode, central banks have been able to react to concepts of things like quantitative easing, which were utilised in the financial crisis, have been used time and time and time again, just do more and more and more. And within that, you know, there has been a suppression of volatility. There has been, you know, these side effects of it, of, you know, higher and higher asset prices. And everyone has become quite used to that environment. But here we are in 2020. COVID has significantly disrupted the world in so many different ways. And one of the most visible byproducts right here and right now is inflation. And if indeed that inflation is more persistent, it's going to stick around. The behaviours that we've gotten also used to in financial markets around central bank essentially supporting the environment is likely to go the other way. And so rather than just doing more and more and more, it may require central banks to do less, perhaps withdraw and withdraw quickly. And I think that would be a significant change to the environment, particularly if indeed it is a genuine paradigm shift. On the other hand, though, if the inflation situation is genuinely just a function of a very out of sync global economy that has had this enormous disruption in it, all sorts of mobility has been disrupted, supply and demand are out of whack, but ultimately as we hopefully transition from pandemic to endemic, that these supply and demand disruptions start to settle down, that inflation pulse would dissipate. And perhaps this big question and this big topic that has got many, many people excited about what it really means may dissipate. And if it does, perhaps not much has changed. And when we reflect on all the things that we've talked about, the structural challenges that led to this environment that we're in the first place, we know that they're still there. We know that most of them have gotten worse. So there is this other very plausible situation that suggests that if indeed this inflation situation is here and now, that perhaps it does realign and it's just another excitable episode. But in the meantime, here we are at the start of 2022, and central banks are talking more and more about having to do something about it. And that really brings us back to the, you know, the title of the note that we're writing for this this session, which is titled How Much, How Fast, or Maybe Not at All. And that refers to, you know, central banks in terms of their reaction to the environment. And understanding that, I think, really will set the tone to a large degree about how we're going to position portfolios for the year ahead.
That's a great title for the note, Brett. It sounds like the crux of this discussion boils down to the outlook for inflation. So how did the team go about analysing their views on inflation?
Yeah, so that's bang on, Dan. And as we always do, I think the deep dive nature of our approach is to try and find as much evidence, do as much research as we possibly can to get to the bottom of these questions. And so when it comes to inflation, the work that we undertook, which is very much focused on what we've seen throughout 2021 and what we might see into 2022, really centered around the question of, you know, is it demand driven inflation or is it supply driven? And so we broke it into a number of components. We broke it into demand for goods and supply of goods, yep. Demand for services, which is, you know, travel, restaurants, hotels, these sorts of things, just to give some examples, and supply of those as well. And also labour, because that's where the wages side of things comes from. And if you break it into those three components, you can genuinely see, I guess, a situation in the global economy where at first demand plummeted due to the pandemic because everyone was, you know, sent home and who knew what the impact was. Supply then responded to that and was cut. But then there was this policymaker response, whether it be monetary or fiscal policy, that saw demand for goods in particular, not services, because we were all at home, we didn't need services, yeah, come surging back.
Yep.
And if you look through all that information, what you come up with is that demand has sort of returned to normal or normalised, if you like. Importantly, our sense is that it's kind of returned back to trend, and our sense is that the trend, you know, prior to the pandemic wasn't particularly encouraging. It was okay, but it wasn't, but it's not hot. It hasn't sort of gone through the other side and it's out of control and can't be. And if anything, it's actually starting to cool a bit. we then looked at the supply side of things, and you can genuinely see, due to, I guess, the challenges with mobility, supply disruption that everyone's talking about, that has played a significant role. But also, there is evidence now starting to come through in the data that we collected that suggests that as we're moving through the pandemic, that some of that supply is starting to ease and some of those prices are starting to correct. So when we look at the good side of things, you can see, you know, that out of sync situation taking place, and you can see it's most likely that things will realign. It doesn't appear that certain goods cannot be supplied anymore or they are in short supply. It just, the supply of them was disrupted for a period, but it's coming. And it is coming, and it's probably coming into weaker demand. And so you could actually see a slingshot the other way, where prices go from going up to all of a sudden they're coming down as there's an oversupply. But what we kind of say, well, that's true. Perhaps, though, there is a bit of a handoff here into things like services. So as people move around a bit more, if they go out more, these sorts of things, perhaps demand for services and how does that, you know, flow through into supply of services and things like that also play a role there. But ultimately, our assessment of it is that, you know, it looks predominantly supply-led from those points of view. And as supply is coming, as the year progresses, we should see supply and demand start to realign again. It might be a bumpy ride, but it ultimately doesn't look as persistent as it does right here at the start of 2022. The second part of that is labour. And we did quite a lot of work on things like labour participation rates.
Yep.
Because interestingly, demand for labour is normalised similarly to demand for goods, and that's very encouraging. But there are, you know, there's all this evidence that labour supply is not returning anywhere near as quickly. I think one of the things we noticed in that, you know, research side of things was that it wasn't a common theme in every country around the world. Every different country was having a different theme with labour supply. And some of these themes, like the Great Resignation and that you hear, seem more pronounced in places like the United States than perhaps everywhere.
Okay.
And so I'm not necessarily, we're not convinced or sure that this is a real theme. It may be just a convenient narrative or story, but we'll wait and see. But there are other things like fear of illness or perhaps there's childcare issues. There may be all sorts of things contributing to it, but there has been this step down in labour market participation, particularly in the United States. But again, also more recently, we're starting to see that start to pick up and perhaps, you know, labour participation re-engaged. So again, there is evidence that the labour supply may well be there and is about to come back online. And if that's the case, that would alleviate concerns that, you know, many people are talking about on the wages front. So if I connect those two things together and I look at the inflation environment that we're currently experiencing, the evidence, and I want to be very clear, the evidence does suggest that it's a more persistent pulse. It may have a period of time still to go before things realign, because the big surprise throughout all this is the pandemic hasn't been over just like that. It's taken a long time. But as in on the condition that we continue to evolve out of it, then supply and demand will realign and that inflation pulse should dissipate quite a bit as it does. And that was the takeaway from where we are today.
Okay, fantastic, Brett. So that's the immediate term. Taking a step back, how does that outlook for inflation fit into your bigger picture? You know, are we experiencing a major shift in financial markets or is this another bump in the road?
Yeah, well, Dan, it is interesting, isn't it? Because throughout that investigation and the way we went about it, it was very much looking at the current situation. Not once did we refer to some of those longer term influences that are still around, that obviously we have to connect to our thinking as well. We've talked about this many times in our notes and on podcasts around the structural influences that are out there. They had created the lower for longer environment. They had meant that inflation had been difficult to create in the past. And as we pointed out before, they're continuing to build and get bigger. And if anything, as we pointed out in previous podcasts, is the reaction to COVID and trying to contain that massive episode actually resulted in a situation where many of these have actually gotten far, far worse in a much more quicker or rapid rate. And so what I'm talking about there is widespread indebtedness now has really gone vertical as a function of COVID. this dependency on extremely low interest rates that central banks have offered everybody, the dependency on incredible amounts of ongoing quantitative easing, which is now starting to go away, you know, that reliance on zero cost of capital, that reliance on no volatility, that reliance on flow and that influence into asset prices that we've seen is far, far more acute now. Demographics haven't gone away. And as we've talked about many times, if anyway, I think the pandemic accelerated the use of technology, Zoom, 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 and all these sorts of things that ultimately are all very, very disinflationary. They push significantly against the possibility of inflation being a significant part of our environment. So when we put those two things together, the overwhelming evidence does suggest that this inflation situation is an episode. It's an episode one that hasn't come to a conclusion at this point in time because the pandemic hasn't come to a conclusion at this point in time. So there is this period of vulnerability, which you know we should talk about, but ultimately it should dissipate and some of those prior themes should exert their pressure once more. But there is a period of months here, I think, before we'll get a clearer picture and markets will start to see the evidence of that and start to react to it.
Thanks, Brett. That was a great walk through the short and long-term impacts of inflation and how you're seeing it. And I think you've painted a really compelling picture for where the future might be. But as we turn to, you know, look at market commentary and a lot of the fast-moving media, you know, perhaps they're painting a different picture. You know, how are you reconciling that narrative?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, Dan? I think even reflecting over the last 10, 15 years and maybe longer, we have to acknowledge first and foremost that, you know, markets don't always trade on the evidence. I mean, markets can disconnect on narrative themes many times over. And I think the other thing too, quite honestly, is that markets have disconnected from a lot of these macro fundamentals over the last years with all that, you know, liquidity that's been supplied by central banks. So it's not uncommon. I think that, you know, markets and evidence don't necessarily go hand in hand, and we always try to highlight that. Yeah. If we look at the environment right here, right now, I think it is a bit of a surprise to many that the inflation situation has been more persistent than everyone thought. So the word transitory has gone away. The word persistent is there. There is concern that it might be even more persistent than people thought. And I think to some degree, it does raise the question, should monetary policy settings or the things that central banks have been doing, should they still be as accommodative as they more or less were around, you know, the pandemic? If indeed the pandemic is moving on, perhaps you know, very or ultra loose monetary policies outstate its welcome. And when you look at the impact on financial markets, I think there's some degree of validity about that, right? I mean, not only did a number of share markets go back to their pre-COVID highs, but they've gone on, you know, with solid gains ever since. And that hasn't necessarily, you know, mapped, you know, how economies have fared through this pandemic. So quite possibly, monetary policy may have been tightened many months ago or, you know, sometime last year. So I think there is this sense that perhaps central banks, you know, with this more persistent inflation are behind the curve. And because of that, you know, leading it back to that sort of topic we were talking about, there's a lot of chatter around how much really has to take place, how quickly that needs to take place. And it really is capturing market attention. And as we point out in even walking through that inflation picture, we're still sort of passing through, hopefully, the latter stage of the pandemic. It's not over. There is still a period of months before this more persistent inflation pulse will, you know, fade, and, you know, as our evidence suggests. And during that period of, you know, vulnerability, there's nothing to say that some other thing might not come along. We know there's some geopolitical risk out there. If you were to get a spike higher in energy prices, if perhaps, you know, the virus was to go on another infection round, you know, another variant, you know, here we are at a fairly vulnerable place of heightened inflation that could extend further. Then you can see why, you know, market commentary is kind of suggesting that, you know, perhaps it's high time that this has happened.
Okay, so that's the views from market commentators, and I think you've lanced that pretty well. But what are the outlooks for financial markets going forward?
Well, Dan, I mean, financial markets have started 2022, you know, with a higher level of volatility. And I think that is markets wrestling with this question that we asked at the start. you know, how much, how fast, or maybe not at all. And that relates to how much or how fast central banks may have to withdraw stimulus. If we look at each of the components that should drive this decision, the first one, which is obviously captivating market attention at the moment, is that central banks are talking about hiking. And when we think about the evidence that we've already talked about, it does feel like it'll still be a number of months before we get a clearer picture of the inflation outlook. We do think inflation will dissipate. But ultimately, because that's still a number of months away, listening to central banks, some monetary tightening looks pretty much baked in the cake. And you know that sense around how many months, how persistent inflation, I think, is going to be instructive to how much could take place there. But ultimately, the inflation side of things should dissipate. Okay. There's another element here, though, too, that says, well, everyone's very much focused on inflation. Everyone's listening to central banks. Everyone's caught up in the market commentary. But there's also this component of this, well, what's happening with demand? Last year, demand had significant benefits from a lot of stimulus, and that stimulus is now fading. And so most Western economies that got the fiscal stimulus are now starting to experience fiscal drag. There is some discussion that maybe that would be offset by drawdown and savings and things like that, but for all intents and purposes, the growth numbers that we're looking at are not particularly compelling. We know there's fiscal drag, and we know that quite possibly we're going to have some monetary policy tightening as well, which should also weaken demand. And I think it's interesting when you put those things together, the outlook for demand at the same time as, you know, we're forecasting that perhaps supply comes online, could see that inflation pulse dissipate very quickly. But that demand thing is also important to that question of how much, how fast. And keeping in mind too, central banks here, monetary policy tightening is a demand tool. It should slow demand. You're using it to try and address a supply problem. And so, you know, the fact that they've, you know, weakened demand further to try and fix supply could be a very interesting experiment. But all things equal, and perhaps you're seeing that in the bond market, is that it doesn't suggest that monetary policy will need to tighten too far. Obviously, some tightening, some abrasion around that, with that risk that we are in a period of vulnerability, where if something else came along, may require more, I think is fairly instructive in the sense of the volatility that we've been seeing. So a sense that the bond market is suggesting not too much, that curve flattening coming through is worth noting. A period of volatility maybe lasting, you know, through the next few months as the picture becomes clearer as central banks tighten, and then perhaps a swing back to the other way. So throughout that period, hopefully there's some good opportunities to play that volatility. But keeping an eye on the sense that things could be indeed a bit more persistent, central banks might have to do more and quicker, and if indeed that should be accompanied by even more volatility. So right here, right now, a position that's fairly cautious is prudent in our opinion.
Thank you very much, Brett. That was a great summary of the outputs from the Macquarie Fixed Income Strategic Forum. I thought a great insight into the thinking of the team, and certainly a lot for us to think about. And we look forward to catching up with you again next time to hear how things are going and how the thinking of the team has evolved. So that's a wrap from us. Thank you very much to all of you for listening. Brett, thank you for your time. And we look forward to hearing from you again.
Thanks, Dan.
The views expressed in this podcast represent those of the speaker and are subject to change. Nothing presented should be construed as a recommendation to purchase or sell any security or follow any investment technique or strategy, and does not constitute advice, an advertisement, an invitation, a confirmation, an offer or a solicitation to engage in any investment activity or an offer of any banking or financial service. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. All examples herein are for illustrative purposes only, and there can be no assurance that any particular investment objective will be realised or any investment strategy seeking to achieve such objective will be successful. Past performance is not a reliable indication of future performance. Before acting on any information, you should consider the appropriateness of it with regard to your particular objectives, financial situation, and needs, and seek advice. No representation or warranty, expressed or implied, is made as to the accuracy or completeness of the information, opinions, and conclusions presented. In preparing this recording, reliance has been placed, without independent verification on the accuracy and completeness of all information available from external sources. Macquarie Asset Management offers a diverse range of products, including securities investment management, infrastructure and real asset management, and fund and equity-based structured products. Macquarie Investment Management is the marketing name for certain companies comprising the asset management division of Macquarie Group. These include the following investment advisors: Macquarie Investment Management Business Trust, Macquarie Funds Management Hong Kong Limited, Macquarie Investment Management Austria Capital Anglage AG, Macquarie Investment Management Global Limited, Macquarie Investment Management Europe Limited, and Macquarie Investment Management Europe SA. Other than Macquarie Bank, none of the entities noted in this podcast are authorised deposit-taking institutions for the purposes of the Banking Act 1959, Commonwealth of Australia. The obligations of these entities do not represent deposits or other liabilities of Macquarie Bank Limited. Macquarie Bank Limited does not guarantee or otherwise provide assurance in respect of these obligations of these entities unless otherwise noted. Copyright 2021, Macquarie Group Limited. Please visit the website macquarieim.com/about/region-specific disclosures for important regional disclosures.